Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This was Paul's greeting in the opening of several of his letters, including the letter to the Ephesians. His words were meant to turn the attention of the readers to God and to be a blessing as they worked out the details of what their new identity in Christ actually meant for their daily lives. Many of us have been Christian the whole of our lives. There was no before and after, but an ongoing progression of our life in Christ from our baptism to this day. It's easy to forget that Paul's letters were written to people who had only recently come to know Jesus and were making radical lifestyle changes, like forsaking pagan temple worship and refusing to acknowledge Caesar as Lord. The new creed was Jesus is Lord. Having come to know Christ, they were growing in their realization that their lives would be forever changed. In the book of Acts, we read that some in Ephesus had practiced magic, and upon their conversion, they burned their magic books, a total value of 50,000 silver coins. Scholars suggest that each coin would have been worth about $20. So imagine a group of people destroying something worth $1 million because they realized that it was evil and not compatible with their new Christian life. They recognized that the life to which they were being called would be a significant contrast to the lifestyle of the pagan culture surrounding them. Like the Ephesians, we live in a culture that can no longer be called Christian in terms of its values and morals. Unlike the Ephesians, maybe we don't take seriously all the time that we have been called to a life of following Christ, not caving in to the expectations of the world in which we live. Today's text begins with the following words: I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians is one of Paul's prison epistles. He was imprisoned in Rome, but he did not spend his time in Rome bemoaning his plight, but rather he spent his time praying for the various churches that he had founded and encouraging their spiritual growth through his various letters. The people in Ephesus would have known that he was in prison, so one has to wonder why he made a point of mentioning it at this point in this letter. In the whole of today's text, he's bringing them back to the foundations of their Christian life. And I think that by mentioning his imprisonment, he is subtly, or maybe not so subtly, reminding them that following Jesus does not always mean that life is a bed of roses. He is reminding us that we have a calling, and that even in difficult circumstances, we are to remain faithful to that calling. There are ways of living that are congruent with that call. Paul calls it being worthy. And there are ways of living that just don't fit with being a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Perhaps he is also saying to us that our call is to live in ways that are congruent with our identity in Christ. In this text, he also emphasizes two particular things, and he seems to bounce back and forth a little bit here. But he's emphasizing the concept of unity in the body of Christ, but he's also talking about the concept of diversity of ministry within the body of Christ. This summer, we are highlighting various lay ministries every Sunday within our congregation, hoping that you will each feel a sense of call to the place that God has for you in our work together. In today's text, Paul describes what has been called the fivefold ministry of the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not that these are the only kind of ministry in the church. In other places, Paul also speaks of giving, of leadership, of compassion ministries, and other ways in which we serve. But today we look at the fivefold ministries. When we use the word apostle, most often we are referring to the 12 chosen by Jesus. But Paul makes it clear that the role of apostle goes far beyond that. So we need to deepen our understanding of what it is to be an apostle. It comes from the Greek, apostolos, one who is sent out. And we remember the dynamic of Jesus teaching his disciples and then sending them out to do ministry. They were sent out with a new message to people who may have never heard of Jesus. They were breaking new ground. Apostles are visionaries and pioneers, always looking for new ways and contexts in which to build up the kingdom of God. They are not afraid to do new things if that is what is necessary for God's work to flourish. Maybe you are called to be an apostle if you have a vision for new ways that God may be calling us here at St. George's. Next, Paul speaks of prophets. Here we tend to think of the Old Testament prophets who were constantly bringing messages from God, often in the midst of contexts hostile to God. One writer suggests that the gist of the prophetic message is, you're doing it all wrong. And we think about the prophet Nathan in today's Old Testament text. The contemporary caricature of the prophet is of the person waving the sign saying, repent, for the end is near. We tend to associate prophets with hearing bad news. Like the people who begin their conversation by saying, I don't mean to offend you, but... I want to say that these images show that we really don't understand the prophet at all. What is foundational to the ministry of the prophet is that they have a message from God, not from their own imagination, or not because they didn't sleep well last night, or not because they think that they have all the answers of how to fix everything. That means that, first of all, prophets must be people of profound prayer and immersed in the Word of God. And fundamentally, the ministry of the prophet is about warning, correction, or encouragement, not condemnation. Nathan didn't just come in with guns ablaze telling David what a horrible sinner he was. Rather, he led David to realize for himself what a terribly grievous thing he had done. Nathan enabled David to a place of repentance and restoration of his relationship with God. You might be a prophet if you know how to speak into people's lives in a way that strengthens or restores their life with God. And then we come to the role that seems to scare the pants off of everybody: evangelist. These days, the word evangelist almost seems like a dirty word, even though at its roots, it means to be one who shares the good news of Christ. We equate evangelist either with spiritual superheroes like Billy Graham or with the people who knock on doors and try to convince you that they have the truth and you don't. But evangelists are simply people who are excited about what God has done for them and eager and comfortable in sharing that with others. I think the reason that we fear the idea of being called to be an evangelist is because we think that it is our responsibility to convert people and drag them into church. I have good news for you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, not you. Maybe you are called to be an evangelist if you are comfortable having conversations about faith, even with people who are not already members of the church. Today, the word pastor is often not used in the way that Paul means it. For all of the years that I served in the Lutheran Church, my title was pastor. And in many contexts, not just the Lutheran Church, the word pastor has almost come to mean a leadership description or an administrative description rather than actually a ministry description. For Paul, the word pastor simply means shepherd, one who cares for the flock, one who has a tender-hearted mercy, especially towards people who are struggling, one who nurtures and guides. And if you are one who takes note of the people who are hurting and tries to help, that is exercising the role of pastor. Finally, Paul mentions teachers. Jesus was called rabbi by some, a word that simply means teacher. Mike Breen says that a teacher is one who holds forth the truth and is excited by it. The teacher looks for ways to explain, to enlighten, and to apply truth. In the context of the Christian community, a teacher is one who loves the Word of God and is excited by opportunities to help others understand it better. We have several people who have volunteered to be Sunday school teachers, but if we want to have Sunday school every Sunday, we need more Sunday school teachers. If you desire for our children to know God and His Word better, maybe you are being called to be a teacher in our midst. Paul says that there is unity in the body, but a whole range of gifts and ministries. And he says that the body of Christ functions well when each part is working properly. There is not a hierarchy of gifts as if some were better or more important than others, but a variety of ways that we all participate in building up the body of Christ. The question that we need to ask ourselves is not, do I have a gift? But rather, what is the gift that God has given me that is to be used for building up the body of Christ? The question is not, do I have a ministry? But rather, to which ministry is God calling me? In the Second World War in the United States, there was a poster that had this figure with, you know, this fancy garb and top hat and a very stern-looking man pointing his finger saying, Uncle Sam needs you. Today, I want to say that this congregation, the congregation to which you belong, needs you. And needs you to release whatever the gift is that God has poured into you. And the interesting part is that when we exercise the gifts that God has given us, we find ourselves also on a growth trajectory. We find ourselves coming closer to Christ. We find ourselves growing more deeply in our faith. Paul expresses a goal. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's the goal. This Christian life is an exciting adventure as we see God's purposes coming to fulfillment in our lives, individually and as a community of faith. Paul's last words, almost last words in the book of Ephesians, are my words to you today. Peace be to the whole community and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.